Hi, my name is Mattia Murray, and welcome to The Longer Road. You are on The Longer Road if you have multiple intersectional identities that are often marginalized. You've had to work harder to get to the starting line, and you might feel behind. I'm here to provide hope, support, and practical tips, and to let you know that you're not alone. Today's message is very simple. You were not a bad child. This episode is based on two elements from my life, one of which was a great conversation I had with a therapist, and then another was coming across a picture recently that really made me reflect on some data that I'd heard about autistic kids. Content note, I will be talking a bit about my childhood, which was full of abuse and neglect. I will not be going into really triggering details. However, I just know that this can be a big topic for folks. So please take care of yourself. If this doesn't feel like what you want to be doing right now, feel free to go listen to something more fun. And I also encourage you to make a little space to be kind to yourself and take care of yourself if this episode brings up anything for you. So a few years ago, I had this really meaningful conversation with my therapist. And I was just regurgitating some information that it was one of those things that was so ingrained in me that it hadn't even occurred to me to question it yet. And when she questioned it, I was like, oh my God, I can't believe I hadn't questioned this yet. Because at this point, having this conversation, for context, I had already been no contact with my parents for years, and I felt great about that. So I had already moved away from the extreme anti-joy, anti-love, evangelical line that I grew up with. For example, one of my siblings once directly asked my mom if she cared if we were happy, and she refused to answer the question because no, she doesn't care if we're happy. She just cares that we go to heaven eventually, and that's the only thing she cares about, or at least did up until that point. We're not in contact now. So anyway, this conversation with my therapist, I can't remember exactly what each of us said, but I basically made some comment along the lines of, you know, of course my parents did such and such because I was such a difficult child. And my therapist said, well, maybe you weren't a difficult child. Maybe your parents just didn't know how to parent you specifically. And I was like, oh, fuck. Yeah. I can't believe that hasn't processed through in my head yet. I was so taken aback, even though that's so simple, but it was one of those moments where I needed that reflection of her to reflect that back to me. That's one of the powerful things in therapy and in group work and having these things reflected back to you is I just had never questioned, like in my head, it was just a fact that I was a difficult child. I heard that from my earliest memories. So that started this journey in my head, you know, over the past few years of really reprocessing some of my core memories and rethinking it from this position that no, I was not a bad child, but my parents didn't know how to handle me and didn't know what to do with me. So fast forward to, I think this is in the last few months I've learned this fact. There was a study of autistic kids, autistic babies. And again, just content warning, you know, this is talking about something that could be very emotionally impactful for you if you're autistic or if you think you might be autistic. Because what came out of this study was basically autistic babies scream differently. They have a more high-pitched scream, they have a more monotone scream, and basically their parents find it, report it as being more annoying. They don't like it. They don't like the way their babies cry. And nobody likes the way their babies cry. But the other interesting factor in this research is obviously autism is very heavily genetic, and it's also very underdiagnosed in people who don't also have extremely high support needs or something else going on like an intellectual disability, because autism is not an intellectual disability. And a lot of people who don't have an ID also don't get an autism diagnosis, especially not young. So this is to say there are a lot of undiagnosed autistic parents with autistic kids. And in this study, as far as I know, from looking at it, they weren't trying to figure out if the parents were autistic. They were just assuming if they weren't diagnosed. You know, that wasn't part of the study parameters, because I do think it'd be interesting to know, do autistic parents on average, do they still find an autistic baby's cry more difficult or more annoying? Like, does it trigger their own sensory needs? Is that part of what's happening? Or is it the opposite, that they, for some reason, are able to connect just as well or better? So anyway, that research hasn't been done. I think that would be very interesting. So I had learned about that. And then I was looking in a photo album of pictures of my childhood, and I came across this picture of my mom holding me when I'm, I think, about a month old. And she's kind of holding me a little bit away from her. I'm crying. And she just kind of has this bemused look on her face. Like, she's not necessarily reacting a lot, but you can see this distance in the photo. If I can put the photo in the show notes, I will. Otherwise, I'll try to link it somewhere. I can put it on the show Instagram. I'll also probably try to make it the picture for this episode, just so it's very visible. But that struck me, knowing this fact that I had just learned from the study, that parents dislike their autistic baby's cries, because I remember watching the horror movie The Babadook a while back, which I'm not recommending if you don't already watch horror movies, which I only really do because I score horror films, and so it's part of my job to kind of stay on top of what's out there. I watched The Babadook with a friend, and the takeaway that I had from it was just basically, oh, that was me and my mom. Like, we didn't bond. And at the time, when I watched it some years ago, I didn't know why, because I didn't know I was autistic yet. But I knew that my mom and I didn't bond, and that we did not have this connection, and that she was upset about that. I also know that she really disliked the strong connection I had with her mom. Like, my maternal grandmother and I were very close, and that my mom seemed jealous of that connection and the emotional connection that we had. And I don't know, all of this just kind of comes together in my head that it's not my fault that I cried the way that I cried as a baby, obviously. It's not my fault that my mom didn't know what to do with me and didn't know how to bond with me. It's not my fault that both of my parents were extremely traumatized from a wide variety of traumatizing events. And it's not my fault that my mom threatened me on a regular basis physically, and that there were acts of both physical violence and a lot of neglect, because she thought I was a bad child who deserved punishment and that I could be punished into being a better child. Looking back with a compassionate adult view, it's very easy to see that none of that was actually about me at all. And at the same time, as a child, you just absorb what's coming at you, especially before the age of 8 or so, when your brain is in a more hypnagogic-like state. You're basically just being hypnotized by the messages you're being told, and you literally don't have the brain development to be able to fight back until you start developing more independence and have different brain states starting around the age of 8 or so. Which is funny, because I also have a clear memory of, at about 8 years old, having the first time that I remember thinking my parents were wrong, like definitely wrong about something. Not just that I was saying they were, but that I like knew in my body that they were incorrect and that I was correct. And for myself, in my own journey, because some of my childhood experiences were so extreme, and because they were so clearly abuse, and because there were, you know, these bigger events that were massively traumatizing, plus the day-to-day fear that I lived in every single day physically, I didn't start to process the emotional neglect side of this. What Linda Tai would say is the things that were supposed to have happened that didn't happen, and how that is also a trauma. It really can be a lot harder to give self-compassion or receive external understanding and compassion around those things that should have happened, the love that we should have had, the support that we should have had, being told that we were special and we mattered and what we were doing was cool and awesome. And again, I can have a lot of compassion for my parents for not having the emotional capacity to be able to do that, and have even more compassion for that child version of me, and have even more compassion for that child version of me who was not being cared for, was not being loved, was not being physically and emotionally nourished pretty consistently for a really long time. I have my hand on my own heart right now in just an act of self-support and giving myself this little bit of physical support, because this is a long journey. Reparenting yourself is a long journey. And I keep having things like this come up where, you know, I saw this picture with my mom and I was just like, oh shit, that's it. That's what this study was talking about. It was literally this interaction right here. And she didn't have resources or support or information around what might be going on with me at that time. So this is a simple, direct message today. If you have anything like this in your past where you were told by an authority figure, and especially a parent, a teacher, a family member, a guardian in some form, this might be a religious leader, if you were told, and especially if you were told repeatedly or told in a variety of ways, that you were a bad child and that there was something wrong with you that needed to be fixed, I am here to say, you are not a bad child. The people around you just didn't know how to support you and how to love you, or they didn't have the emotional resources to support and love you. And that does not make what happened to you okay. You deserved that support and that love and that delight. You deserved to be delighted in and taken joy in. And of course, you still deserve that, and I hope you're finding more of that in your day-to-day life now. And I invite you to just give love to that young self, especially if there's a particular age or a particular instance that's coming up for you as I'm talking. That particular lovely, lovable young one deserved to be held and supported and delighted in whatever way felt good for that little nervous system. And you can offer that to yourself now. You were not a bad child. You were an awesome, interesting, fabulous, curious, weird, probably a little rebellious and very fun child. And if anyone around you had the capacity to really look at you and focus on you and think about your needs, they would have seen how wonderful you were and been able to reflect that back to you in a way that made sense to you and that you could really hear. And you deserved to have that reflection. I love you. I love that young version of you, or versions of you, that are asking to have their emotional needs met now. And I hope you have some space emotionally to do that today. Have a great week, and I'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening. If you know someone who would be helped by this podcast, please share it with them. And I'd love to hear your thoughts and suggestions at mattia@mattiamurray.com. That's M-A-T-T-I-A at
mattiamaurie.com. Thank you.